All right, with that thought in mind, let's get our view from the middle. He's the fine columnist for USA Today. You can keep up with his work. Well, the red section of the newspaper online at usatoday.com. A very busy weekend of college football behind us and in front of us. Check out his Twitter account. The handle's at George Schroeder. George, always appreciate your time. How are things with you?
Things are good. Things are good. How are you, Steve?
All is good. Thank you, sir. When we spoke last week before you went to Memorial Stadium for North Carolina State Clemson, I think we both kind of figured, yeah, the Tigers may hit them with a dose of reality, and their defense picked off a couple passes, allowed under 300 yards. They threw it. They won 41-7. You know, we see a little bit on TV. You in person, how dominating a performance was that?
Oh, really, really good. First of all, Clemson's defense is terrific. It sort of lived up to its billing. Maybe the first time all year, really, they lived up to how good we knew they were. But they just shut down a good North Carolina State offense. And look, North Carolina State's not ready for prime time. They're not an elite unit, but or an elite team, but Clemson is. That was my takeaway. And I mentioned that the defense. The thing that should have people going, is the offense under Trevor Lawrence, the true freshman. The quarterback is really good, and he's getting better. And that's not to say he might not have some freshman hiccups along the way, but he is every bit the star that they thought he was going to be. And he changes their offense, gives them a vertical dimension they didn't have, a real legitimate passing game, and all of a sudden they're very, very dangerous. And I think Clemson is the kind of team. Now, obviously, you can have pitfalls along the way, but I think they're the kind of team that's built to compete with Alabama this year now that they have him at quarterback.
No, he looks fantastic. Actually, looks-wise, he looks like he could be in the remake of that 70s show. I mean, kid is terrific.
Or Sunshine from, was it Remember the Titans? Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah. I
mean, that's just sort of his semi-nickname is Sunshine. I'm not sure he enjoys it, but got the long hair going, you know. Of a dirty blonde, I guess. So, seems like a good kid, too. I mean, how do you know? We get these sort of bite-sized visits with him, but seems like a really good kid by all accounts. Very humble, but just as talented as can be.
No, I like your nickname better. That works better. You wrote about the force that has become Tua Tagovailoa, the Alabama quarterback. I know we've gotten carried away. I think Geno Smith once won the Heisman Award in October. But as you pointed out, this is a little different, what he's doing, the numbers. I mean, and I get it's October 24th, but I feel comfortable saying this is kind of remarkable.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And Leonard Fournette also won in the October Heisman.
Yeah.
Don't forget him, the LSU running back.
But, right.
you know, and so we've seen that before, and things can happen. But what he's done and how he's elevated Alabama's offense, which, let's be honest, the offense during this dynastic run has been basically pretty mundane. It's been the defense that's dragged them places. And this time around, they got a defense that's not as good as it's been, although it's okay. But their offense is suddenly terrific. Their offense, you know, let's not get carried away. It's not like their offense is suddenly the best offense in the history of offenses. There might be a better offense or two this year, but there certainly been really good offenses that have been very similar over the last few years. But it's just so different than what Alabama's had, and he's so different, better than any quarterback they've had in the Nick Saban era, and frankly, probably ever at Alabama, but just a fantastic playmaker. And he's throwing it around to a bunch of guys who are really talented, which sort of fits the Alabama MO in that regard. So, we'll see what happens. This will be the first time they played a really good defense in LSU. I don't expect LSU to win the game because I think in today's world, you've got to have an offense to go with it, and I don't think LSU does. But we'll see if they slow Alabama down. We'll see the next week. Similar issues, not as good a team in Mississippi State, but another good defense. We'll see if either of those can slow him down. Failing that, I don't really see where you know, he gets slowed down. And I think you're probably right to just, you know, we can probably go ahead and ship the trophy to him, right? I really don't know who would win it. I can tell you two guys who would be in New York right now, and I can't tell you the third. I don't know who it is. And I can tell you that if it were right now, Tua would win it. Kyler Murray from Oklahoma would be the other guy invited, and I don't know who number three would be.
No, that's going to be the test. But the pass he threw for their third touchdown, I think is to that Waddle kid, was like, oh, my God, that's just an NFL pass. It's just
well, he's got an NFL arm. Now, he's not a big kid.
I mean,
I don't know. He might be 6'1". He's thick, which is good. I mean, you know, he's not a read or anything. So that, but you know, I think the NFL is getting over a little bit of that these days. That you don't have to be to look like the kid at Clemson who's 6'5". You don't have to look like Justin Herbert. That helps. Don't get me wrong. But you can be a smaller guy, and if you can make all the throws and you have that kind of arm talent, they're going to go, hey, maybe our old measurables need to be revised downward a little bit.
Yeah, well, especially think about Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, no question about it. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today, so Bama has a bye. You mentioned they'll go to LSU. But you and your colleagues at the paper listed your top college football atmospheres. I thought that was a really fun exercise. So if you would share with the folks your pick and, I guess, some of the other venues you've considered.
Man, one of the neat things about my job through the years, whether it's the USA Today job or just the other newspaper jobs that I held, including the Register Guard, was you get to go to a ton of great places in college football. It's really neat, and I'm appreciative of that. So, I considered Kyle Field, Texas A&M, LSU, Tiger Stadium, which I was at last week, and if there's nothing much better at night than Tiger Stadium. And then last Saturday, it was a week and a half ago, I was at Baton Rouge, but last Saturday I was at Clemson, as you mentioned, at their version of Death Valley. That's tremendous. I've been to Ohio State for a Michigan game. I've been to the Big House three or four times. I've been to Notre Dame. I've been to a bunch of great places. The place I picked was Austin Stadium in Eugene, and it's not because I come on your radio show or because I spent 6 years there, and was a columnist at the Register Guard. It's not for those reasons. It's because pound for pound, with 55 or 60,000 people in there, it's the greatest place on earth for college football in terms of noise and hostility and all the things you want it to be. And by hostility, I just mean noise. I don't mean the guys they caught virally, mistreating the opposing players a couple weeks ago.
Right.
on the video that went viral. But I just mean the loud we want to impact the game for our guys and against those other guys. There's not much better than, I don't think there's a better place in the country than Austin Stadium. I mean, there are some places that are jet roar loud with 100,000 people, and that's a place that pretty much matches them with half the crowd. And it's an amazing place. I love the fact that it's a really tight bowl shape that keeps the sound in. So that's the one I picked. Some of my colleagues picked some of those other type places I just mentioned. But I love this. Listen, I don't think you can go wrong with Penn State on a night game with a whiteout. That's as cool as anything ever.
Right.
I mean, we could go on and on and on. My point was, if I'm going to place, I'm going with Austin. And just because I think it's a tremendous place.
Now, everybody who comes through here and I interview the opposing journalist or play-by-play guy or analyst, when they come here, they're especially the first-timers, it's amazing. Those who've been around still are like, yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, no, that seemed like a real fun thing that you guys did. That was awesome.
Well, listen, it's partly, Steve, it's partly the configuration. And it's partly the fact that they want to be so loud. The fans want to be so loud. And that is a big deal. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. That's a huge deal. In some places, I mentioned the Big House. Michigan's not a very loud place. Part of it is the configuration. They put 117,000 people in there, but it's a real gradual sort of sloping type of deal. It makes it harder to be loud. But still, they're not the same kind of proactive crowd. And there are some crowds like that. LSU's is. But the combination of that tight bowl configuration and then how loud the crowd wants to be at Austin is to me, is what makes it special. And that just says something about the intensity of Duck fans.
No, it's been fun living here, believe me. I figured out I've been to 154 of the last 155 home games. I got food
poisoning. Which one did you miss?
I missed Washington State in 2015 because I got food poisoning the night before.
Right. I'm not laughing at you. Well, yes, I am. I'm laughing at you.
No, that's my claim to fame.
That's pretty good. That's great. So, I mean, with your 40 years of radio in Eugene, oh. You've been with that.
Actually, coincidentally, we got our season's tickets when Bilotti got the job in 1995. And if it wasn't for my son having a birthday party and me getting a bum slice of pizza, I'd be on a streak since then. But anyway.
Well, don't mention where the pizza was from. That might be a potential sponsor down the road.
I did not. I would never. You know, you wrote a piece about the Duck program and their coach, Cristobal. Of course, it was written prior to last game, but...
Yeah, probably good timing.
Yeah, I think they did really well to promote him, and I know it's only year one, but, you know, you talk with people, do your research. What struck you about Mario Cristobal that he seems to just be the right fit to kind of put Oregon back in the picture for big things?
Well, listen, I think it was a stretch to make that hire right there, but I think it seems to have made sense so far. And I realize we're talking on the Wednesday after a very disappointing loss, but let's start with this. You can't – I think Washington State played tremendously, and they're very good, and maybe they're actually better than Oregon. Who knows? I don't know. But that was a – situation that was ripe for that kind of a thing to happen. Oregon's coming off an emotional win over its biggest rival. Washington State is as jacked up as it's ever been with game day in town and everything else, and it was just the conditions were ripe. So, you know, I'm as high on Mario Cristobal as I was before the game. These things happen goofy in college football, especially when you're sort of scrabbling to get back to the top, right?
Right.
And that's what Oregon's trying to do. What I like about Mario is what he's trying to do there. Now, it's different because you've got to recruit a little bit differently / better. Obviously, the early returns on the, you know, the non-binding verbal commitments. And I always say non-binding because you got to get them signed on the dotted line in December. But the early returns are really good. But if he can build it the way he wants to build it, it's kind of a mashup between the Oregon that we knew and the Stanford we know, and it's kind of similar to the kind of style of play that Alabama wants to play now and does play now. And again, I'm not equating them to Alabama. That's a different standard right now. But if you can play like that and sort of have that kind of physicality and that kind of still got kind of speed, to me, that's a pretty good combination. And it's maybe that ends up being the evolution of the Chip Kelly stuff and the David Shaw stuff. I don't know. But I just like what I've seen out of Mario so far. And it's not like they need my validation for that. I just, you know, and by the way, the other thing is this, Chris Peterson's not going anywhere.
Yep.
The Huskies aren't going anywhere. He's got a program that he has built and continues to build that is going to be a bear for a long time in the Pac-12 North. He's going to make things really tough. I just think that to this point, it sure looks like Mario knows what he's doing and is giving Oregon a shot to sort of compete with those guys, which I think maybe a year ago you might have thought, in your heart of hearts, you might have thought that can be kind of tough to catch up with those guys now that they've got it going.
I agree. If you would have told me prior to this season that they would have beaten Washington, I'd be like, let's see. So, like I said, one game does not derail the progress they've made, in my opinion. Continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. You know, when I look at the big games, I check a lot of outlets. I did not see one person last week that had Purdue dominating Ohio State like that.
Wait, you missed my pick? Not only did I pick them, I picked them by 29 points.
Wow, what a coincidence.
No.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, the Buckeyes were actually fortunate to beat Penn State. They were less than overwhelming against Minnesota. So I know it, the outcome was a shock, but are they maybe not quite what a lot of us thought because they look like a machine early on?
Yeah, listen, I think we overdo the results of one game, and I think you can have these weird swings in college, and very few teams are not susceptible to them, and that very few teams may just mean Alabama, which just doesn't lose to unranked teams, much less get dominated. It's very possible that Ohio State's not quite as good as we thought they were. I give them credit for beating Penn State at Penn State in a really tough situation. So I don't have a problem with that, regardless of what Penn State does down, you know, beyond that. You know, Penn State's clearly struggled itself. But you're right, they didn't. They scrambled around a little bit with Minnesota, and then they got dominated, as you said. by Purdue. And to me, there's some potential issues there that go beyond maybe just what we see on paper on their roster. Because I think if you look at the roster, they're sitting up there with Alabama and Clemson in terms of overall roster talent. I love the quarterback. Haskins is big time, and he's changed their offense and elevated it, you know, much like Tua has, much like Trevor Lawrence has for Clemson. He's changed things for them. But, yeah, they're deficient in some things that are both tangible. I think defensively their linebackers aren't as good as maybe we thought they were. Maybe they're a little slow. And then intangibly there's something missing potentially.
I agree. And obviously what happened last week kind of slapped them in the face with it. Lastly, with the understanding we're 6 days from the first college football playoff reveal, and let's face it, right now it's Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame because they're unbeaten. Who do you have in the mix for the fourth spot? And I guess who would you pick right now?
I guess if it were right now, I'd pick Michigan, I guess, in the four slot behind those three unbeatens. I mean, you could say here are the people you would go after right now. If you were going to choose and you were going to rank them, probably you would have LSU. I mean, because we're talking about before November 3rd, right?
Right.
Haven't played Alabama yet. LSU would have a great resume, but I don't know if they hit the eye test, so maybe I should put them in there. But LSU, Michigan State, Texas or Oklahoma, and in that order, because Texas owns the head-to-head, those would be your four. So it's probably LSU or Michigan at this point. Who do I think out of that group makes it? I guess Ohio State still has to be in the mix in that case if we get all the way down to the end. But Michigan, Texas, Oklahoma, especially if they rematch and either Texas beats Oklahoma for a second time, a highly ranked Oklahoma, or Oklahoma sort of cancels out its loss against a highly ranked Texas, that would be a pretty good setup for either one of those teams. But I think, you know, if Notre Dame stays unbeaten, it's going to be, you know, the Big Ten or the Big 12, not both. And obviously the conference we're not even talking about is the one that's out your way, where Washington State is sort of the lone hope. And yeah. If they could even run the table, which I think is hard, as good as the conference is, doesn't have any great teams, but it has a bunch of good teams. If they could even run the table, I think that non-conference schedule is just going to kill them when you compare them to these other teams.
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, obviously, this week they play Stanford, so it might be a non-issue. But, yeah, if somebody had told me at the beginning of the year, Washington State by the 1st of November will be your best shot, I'd be like, okay, I need to have a conversation with somebody else. anyway, he's George Schroeder on Twitter, at George Schroeder, USAtoday.com online. George, great stuff as always. We appreciate you being our leadoff guy, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Look forward to it.
All right, take it easy.